figure we'll start off on a controversial topic in the first week after Pesach. Welcome everyone back. We started talking about this a little bit, but now let's get into more of the controversy. Who has to listen to who? When some groups want to make it, some people want to bench, some people don't want to bench. People have to stop their eating. We talked about how much they have to stop their eating. But practically speaking, do you have to join in your friend when he wants to make a Zimun, and you're not ready to make a Zimun? Who can force who? So the Gemara has a very, very vague line about this. It says, Shlosha sh'achlu ka'achas. Three people are eating together. And let's make it very clear. You're all eating together at the same table. We're not talking about different tables like we talked about different weeks. We're talking about you and your two friends are sitting around the table. Echad mafsik l'shnayim. What does that mean?
Two people can force one.
Okay, so I didn't see the word force there. But maybe you're right. It says echad mafsik l'shnayim. Literally that means what?
Stops.
Okay, one stops. He has to stop. He could stop. He needs to stop. Echad mafsik l'shnayim. One stops for two. The ein should stop. Okay, the ein shnayim mafsikin l'echad. Two are not, what does mafsikin mean again? Same thing, two are not allowed to stop for one. Two should not, they don't have to. Shnayim, ein shnayim mafsikin l'echad. Essentially, that's the end of the Gemara. I'll read you one line because it's a little bit interesting as well. It says, It says, Rav Papa stopped for Abba Bray, Rav Papa and one other person, it sounds like, stopped for Abba Mar Bray. Answer is, Shani Rav Papa duafnim mishur said dinu da avid. He didn't have to stop, but he did stop for someone else. Okay, so that was a separate case of Rav Papa. But simply put, this Gemara says one stops or should stop or could stop for two, and two don't need to, they're not allowed, they don't stop for one. Now this is going to be the controversy. Rashi says, what does it mean? Echad mafsik l'shnayim. Im gomru ashnayim sudasan. If the two finish their meal, verotzin wazamin, they want to make a zimun, derech eretz hu sheyeya echad mafsik esudaso. What does derech eretz mean? My generation, we don't have derech eretz. No, it went out in the 70s, I think, the derech eretz. So I'll be honest, I have no idea what the words derech eretz mean. I'm proud of that, as my generation is. And you guys think that we're all a bunch of, you know, Rishayim, which I don't blame you. But no, so Derech Eretz is what? Now, he should stop. It's proper for him to stop. I wouldn't use the word should, maybe. Let's use the word should. I don't know. Maybe that gets into the generational difference over here. What does Derech Eretz mean? It says it's proper for him to stop. Is he chayiv if he goes to the rabbi and says to the rabbi, Rabbi Rosenfeld, do I need to stop when there are two people? What would Rashi say? You don't need to stop, but it's appropriate to do. So I think appropriate or proper are good words. Yeah.
But don't some people translate Derech Eretz as the accepted way?
Okay, fine. Accepted way, gesundheit, whatever word.
No, because accepted way, maybe it feels a little bit stronger than you have the choice or you should do it. It's the expected thing to do.
It's expected, but I'm not chayv. I don't want to, if I'm not in the mood to be have Derech Eretz. Again, it's a very sensitive topic, I told you. Do you have to have Derech Eretz? It's not, Rashi knows how to write. Rashi could have written the words, Chayav Lahavsik. As opinion number two, Rabbeinu Yonah writes that you are obligated to stop. Rashi says, it's Derech Eretz. I'm okay with Derech Eretz, but you're not Chayav to stop. Comes along. Okay, now that's opinion number one. Rashi, Derech Eretz, Rabbeinu Yonah says Chayav. Now comes, what about opinion number three? What does Chayav mean? Yeah.
If Rashi says Derech Eretz.
Yeah.
Who would take it upon themselves
not to? Okay, so
I didn't use the word Chayav.
For sure. And again, I preface with my generation because there are a lot of tzaddikim, a lot of good people who do things these days who just may not have the same Derech Eretz that the previous generation had. They could be tzaddikim, they're good people, they just don't. Now, why they don't, should they? Fine. But in the hierarchy of what you're working on to increase in your life, you should focus more, I would imagine, on things that are obligations than derech eretz. That's not an excuse for my generation over here that we don't have derech eretz. And again, I apologize on the tape here if I've cast dispersions. If other people in my generation have derech eretz and I don't. But I speak for myself and at least some of my friends I know who have been accused of not having the proper derech eretz always. But if that's the case, so derech eretz is important, don't get me wrong. And you should, 100%. But in terms, it's not a chiyuv. It's not the same level as chiyuv. As Rabbeinu Yoni uses the word chayiv. What about level number three? What's even stronger than chayiv? How about forced? I'll read you Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch doesn't follow Rashi. He doesn't follow Rabbeinu Yonah. He doesn't say it's derech eretz to stop. He doesn't say you're chayiv to stop. He says something even stronger. Yes.
Read what you read before, because
okay.
He said that if you finish eating,
correct.
And if you want
to, correct. On my cases, you have three people eating, two people are finished. They've crumpled up their paper, they took their plate and threw it out. They're done. They brought it to the sink. They come back. They're sitting there twiddling your thumbs. And you're on your first hamburger still, you know, or you're on your first piece of bread, and you're the third guy there. Do you have to stop? Rashi would say, it's derech eretz for you to stop joining them with their zima, and then you go back to eating. That's what we talked about, how you go back to eating previous weeks. Fine. But it would be derech eretz appropriate, is a good word, or it would be proper for you to stop. Rabbi Yonah says, you're chayiv to stop. Says Shulchan Aruch.
Wait, so if you're stopping, like you just said, you're the first course. So you would stop until after the first bracha?
Good question. So we talked about it a few weeks ago. It's an excellent question. And the answer is probably till the end of the first bracha. Simply put them
wrong.
And then go back and fresh your heart's desire. But yeah, it's annoying. I'll be honest. It's annoying. I don't like to get stopped in the middle of my meal. You know, that's why you try to eat away from the children, right? So this way they don't bother you. At least for the 10 minutes you're eating your food, you don't want to be bothered because you just want to eat your food and be done. You know, it's very annoying to have to stop 5 bites and thin. And the guy, especially if the guy is stark, mezamin, he's going to do it with kavanas, baruch, atah, and he's going on. It could be 2 minutes till you get back to your food, and you're sitting there, you can't do anything, you're twiddling your thumbs. Do you have to stop? It's annoying. Come on. Your soup's getting cold. Exactly. Well said. Are you mechuyev to stop? Says Rashi, well, it's derech eretz to stop. If you don't want to because it's annoying for your soup, so don't. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, you're chayev to stop. Fine. Says Shulchan Aruch, you're forced to stop. What does that mean? Against his will. What does that mean?
Take away.
That would be nice. That would be a good idea. He doesn't say that. But what that means is if you don't stop, if you say, I don't believe in this halacha, I'm not stopping, the other two people say Shulchan Aruch, even if you don't refuse, you refuse. You say, I'm not stopping. Mizamnin alav, the other two people can do a zeman, and you could sit there eating your soup, ignoring them, and those other two people still fulfill the mitzvah of zeman. Why? Because you are physically present right there. If you walk out, you really hate them, and you say, forget my soup and forget the zeman, I'm walking out. In that case, says Mishmar, obviously that doesn't work. But let's assume the classic case. You don't want to say, no, I'm not ready. You can wait 10 minutes for me. And they say, no, we're not waiting 10 minutes.
Oh, well, isn't that like the same thing when you're davening, when you're waiting for the tzibur, you only need six?
Correct. And so this idea over here it's a little bit different because there they can't stop their Shmon Esrei. Here, or they're in the middle of Shmon Esrei, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to go quicker. That's one of the most unknown halachas, is that Friday night, you really should have a quick Friday night Shmon Esrei, so you could say Vishamru with the Tzibur afterwards. You're really supposed to, Mishnah Berurah says you should daven quick, but no one knows that halacha.
No,
but
the Biachulu, a lot of guys, they do
it afterwards, correct.
And then they find two guys.
Correct, Mishnah Berurah says, you should
do it. To say it.
Really, Mishnah Berurah says you should do it quickly, and you should daven quickly. It's one of the few times that Mishnah Berurah says it's actually better to daven quickly. But here's how we do the davening. It's your soup. You're in the middle of your soup. So says Shulchan Aruch, if you don't stop, says Shulchan Aruch, they can do it without you, and you sit there ignoring them. You do not fulfill Zeman, obviously, but the other two fulfill Zeman.
So that's okay. The most lenient
opinion. Well, it depends how you view it, strict or lenient. I don't know whose side you're looking at. It's the most lenient. It's the most uncomfortable for the one refuser in the sense that he is stuck. He loses out of mitzvah. One level says it's a nice thing for him to join. One level says he's chayiv to join. One level says if you don't join, you use the mitzvah. You're forced to do it. Right. Perfect. No derech eretz. You think it's all one shita.
So he wouldn't care.
Good. Shita num. Okay.
It's not being forced.
Yeah, but it's more than this guy lost his mitzvah. It's strict in the sense that he's lost his mitzvah. Wait a second. I'm not saying atu brishiaskin, and we're not dealing with rishayim. We're talking about people who like their soup. I'll be the first to say I like my soup hot. I don't want to stop eating my soup necessarily for a minute and a half, for 2 minutes, while you guys are doing your zimun. I don't know. We're not talking about a Russia. We're talking about someone who would like them to wait for another 2 minutes for him.
Right, which might have been Derek Harris on their
end. Okay, but it doesn't say that. It says, and that's my next question, what about two for one? In other words, do two, so you have one guy who's finished, and the other two are in their soup. Is there any concept that those two should break for the one? Says Shulchan Aruch, Avol Shnayim Ein Chayovin LaHafsik. Two don't need a break for the one. Ve'okach Ein Chiyav Zimun Chal Ad Sheyisratz LaHafsik LeVarech. The Zimun doesn't exist until they agree to break for the one, and they will join in. Vim lo rots lahafsik. If they don't want to, and he just does the zimun without them, obviously he's not yotze at all. But the point is that they have this option to break their zimun and join his zimun. In other words, they stop eating for 30 seconds or 2 minutes or whatever it is. He makes the zimun. They answer. They go back to their eating. Seems like it would, like you said, it would be proper on them to do so. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah and cites the Bach and says, they're not allowed to do that. Why? V'daita, why? De'ein chiv zimin chal. There is no zimin yet. Yes, they're going to answer to him, but are they benching right now? Nope. So only one guy is benching. So even if they want to be the nicest people in the entire world, says the Bach, they're not allowed. So that one guy who wants to bench is stuck, according to the Bach.
Why is that not the same response on the flip side?
There was a two to one.
But if there's two to one, there's no Zeman unless there's three.
Oh, says Shulchan Aruch, and says the Gemara, really, that's not the case, because two can force that third person. Well, that's a good question. You're saying, why is there no Zeman at all? So that gets into, I think, a deeper question. How many people do you really need for a Zeman? There are some Rishonim who say you only need two people for a Zeman. It's really two are the main, and one is like the addendum addition. One to two, though, when one person's benching, two are not. There is no Zeman at all here by that one. But fortunately, says the Mishnah Berurah, it's a great Bach, but everyone disagrees with him. So fortunately, we are pro Derech Eretz. Mishnah Berurah says, though, everyone agrees. He says, it's Lashon that he says, Avo kol ha'achronim chokin alav. Kol, it's a pretty strong language. Everyone disagrees with the Bach. V'daitam ka shokin aruch. He says, since they all ate together, there is a Zimun. It's just an issue of when do you begin the Zimun? So you begin the Zimun whenever everyone agrees to begin the Zimun. So if one person says, I want a bench now, and two are still eating their soup, it would be proper for them to break their meal and join him as well. Okay, what about question number three? Two guys are eating bread. You're with me? Totally, and they're ready to bench. Third guy is eating with them, and we'll take your case. He is only eating soup. Is there a zimun here? We said in previous shurim, there is a zimun. But he doesn't want to stop his soup. He didn't have a piece of bread. He's a breadophobe. He only has bread on Shabbos, yeah? He's watching his car. He's having some health nut soup or squash soup or whatever it is. Whatever. Pick whatever healthy, you know, at night. It's not a chicken soup. It's not good chicken soup. It's not with croutons and chicken soup. He's got some health nut soup. He doesn't have bread all week. These two guys had their bread and their hamburgers and whatever it is, and now they want to bench. Can they force him to bench or not?
He had mizonos.
No? That the Ketzos HaShulchan says it's not so clear. Because he's not really part of the Zeman here. He was doing them a favor to begin with by combining. So the Ketzos HaShulchan says Tzarech Ian. He doesn't know the answer in this case if the two can force. Now again, Derech Eretz should of course combine. But I don't even know if there's even... Look, Derek Haaretz is short. Always Derek Haaretz is always nice, and I'm going to get to my next point, and I'll end with a Derek Haaretz story on that, for sure. Derek Haaretz, I'm pro Derek Haaretz. But on a Chiyuv level, he doesn't even have this Chiyuv, perhaps, to combine. Question number four. Yeah.
Is there any issue about when they started?
Let's assume they all started.
I'm just saying, so if two started at one point, and the other guy brings his soup at the last second.
Oh, well, so it's all right. They have to eat simultaneously at some point. So as long as they're eating for 1 minute together, then they're considered a combination. So yeah, that's usually the classic case. Most of the time, you don't have one person who's so behind the other two. It's usually he comes in the middle of the meal, and he starts unwrapping his food, and they're eating their last bites, and they eat together. You know, question number four.
You know, I just want to say, you said Tzorach Ian.
Yeah.
Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld Zatzal used to say, what does that mean?
Yeah.
He said, it means you do what's best for everybody.
Oh, that's a beautiful answer. And so according to that, you should be preferable for this guy eating vegetables or eating a soup to combine, because that would be Derek Haaretz. What about...
What brings shalom, that's what he meant.
Oh, brings shalom, perfect. So I'll give you a perfect example. What about you have Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld Zatzal eating together with two of the Balabatim in the shul? And the two of the Balabatim are done first. And now they say to Rabbi Schoenfeld, let's do the other way. You can play both sides, but the case I really saw is really the other way. Is, let's say Rabbi Schoenfeld is done first. And he's got busy. He's going to Levayas. He was going to Bikur Cholim. He doesn't want to wait for you two dopes to finish your food over here. So he says to you, can we bench? Are you mechuyev to listen to your Rav who's eating with you? So that Pirkei Yosef says, of course, you have to listen, because the whole concept is who has the rights, two have the rights over one. So of course the rabbi has the rights, but you have to listen to him. That's case number four. Case number five, is the hardest one out of all of them. You have a group of four people eating together. And two are done, and two are not done. Can the two force... All they need is really one of them. But the one of them says, I've got a teammate who's not done yet either. Yes or no? Can there be any forcing of Zimun over here? This is a tough one. So the Piskei Tshuva cites the Oz Nidbru that says you can force, that two can force, because all you really need is one of them. You're not, forget about the other guy. You're forcing one, fine. If you look at the Piskei Tshuvas, though, he says, no, he disagrees, and he brings a proof from the Mishnah Berurah's language. What's the lumdis? Kevan shem rabim negdo. Two against one can force him because they are the majority. So when you have two and two, there is no majority. I guess the Oz Nidbo would respond, but we're not viewing it as if there's four people. We're viewing it as there's only three people. So this is a tremendous dispute. I wanted to suggest... or proof, take it or leave it, from a later Mishnah Berurah. What about you have five people and two are ready to bench? Says Mishnah Berurah, if you have five people, he doesn't talk about forcing. He says two people who combine with one out of the five, that one person, the Mishnah Berurah's whole discussion, can he combine with the other two later on as well? And I believe the Mishnah Berurah says he can, but I'll just confirm that for you. He says that he can. I believe so. I'll find it after. But I think he does say he can here. Oh, no. He says opposite. Sorry. Avimayu chamisha b'chabura achas. Five are eating together. V'hifsik echad v'shnayim. One breaks for two. Shuv enu yochu v'zaminim shnayim me hanisharim. He cannot combine with the other two. Deparach zimun minayim. It's gone. But what do you see from this case? I was reading that Mishnah. Well, why is that one breaking with the other two? So you're all going to tell me, well, maybe he's just a nice guy. But I would tell you, maybe it sounds like the two can force one of them to join their team and to make a Zeman. They ignore the other guy number four and guy number five. But if that's the case, then maybe if you have four as well, two can force one of them to join in. I don't know the answer to that question. Final question.
I think it's the same thing as having two and two.
You think it's the same as two and two?
What you're in effect doing is having two guys left out.
Yeah. So you think if you have four people...
So
take my case of four. You think case of four, two and two. You think two can force the guy number three or no?
No.
You say no, because it always has to have a majority. Okay, final question. This gets into your Derek Haaretz. You want Derek Haaretz over here? Now we could pit older generation versus younger generation. You have one man, we don't care what age he is. He's ready to bench. He finished his meal. You have an older man, I don't want to call you older, a generation above, whatever it is called, Generation Z, whatever, baby boomers. Yeah, you have a baby boomer joining with the millennial or whatever, Generation Z, what are they called now? What's the Generation Gen Z is now? What's now?
Alpha is the next one.
Alpha, okay, whatever it is. Eating with a younger generation. The younger guys, and the guy, one guy is ready, the regular guy is ready to bench. He turns to the baby boomer, can you join my benching? Baby boomer says, of course, I've got Derek Hertz. I'm going to join with you, of course. I'm not done eating, but I'll stop. Turns to the millennial and he says, no way, I'm not done. You can wait. You don't have two guys over here. Well, he does have two guys. One, the baby boomer guy, is willing to stop his meal, but technically he ain't benching. What's the answer in this question? Says the Rivo Sephraim, he cannot force in this situation because you don't have two majority. People who are benching. You have two nice guys. You have one nice guy over here. The baby boomer's got Derek Harris. You have the non-Derek Harris millennial over here. But you ain't have two people but benching now. So says Rav Sfraim, you can't really force in this situation. Again, it's not Derek Eretz. Of course, you should force. So I have to end with a great Derek Eretz story. We have to end with a great Derek Eretz. Just shows what you guys have all been yelling at me is that this whole chabura is silly. Because if you have proper Derek Eretz, you would stop no matter what it is. It doesn't make a difference. I was listening, I was doing my exercises, sometimes listen to shiurim, but I try to listen to a little bit lighter shiurim. So I saw a great shiur on Wayu Torah by Rabbi Avishai David, who's the Rosh Shiva of Torah, I think it's Torah Shraga, as well as MMY. He was, I think, taught my wife a class when she was in MMY as well. And so he, tremendous Talmud Chacham, he has a shiur online where someone interviewed him and asked him all these stories that he's interacted with many Gedolim from the previous generation, and he shared stories from all the Gedolim. So he says over in a very embarrassing story about himself. He says he was 13 years old or 12, whatever he was. He was in high school, early year high school, ninth grade. And I think it was MTA. I missed it. If it was maybe in Chicago, maybe it was an MTA. I'm not sure. And he had a mahalach that what would he do? He liked to play basketball. So he would come to yeshiva early. And he'd be like the first one there before davening. He'd shoot some hoops before davening. Then he'd go and daven and have regular learning. And this way he could play basketball. He could still make it to davening on time. That was his mahalach. This is what he did every day. The problem was is that he'd get to school early. He'd have his knapsack there, his books. He couldn't just leave it, you know, there. He was afraid it was going to get stolen. I don't know. It was people were in and out. So once he would look around, and the first day he did this, is he looked around, and he looked for someone to watch his book bag who was there early in the morning so that he could go play basketball. So he walks around, and he sees this, you know, rabbi figure sitting over a table, sitting with some books over there. And he goes to him and says to the rabbi, hey, can you watch my books for a few, you know, for an hour so I could go, you know, this way I could go play ball. So the rabbi says to him, am I a shomer chinam or a shomer socher? It was Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. And Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says to him, and he did it with the invitation. I can't do it, but you know that if you heard Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and the Soloveitchik says to him, am I a Shomer Chinam? So David said, I had no idea what Shomer Chinam, Shomer Socher was. Am I a paid watchman or a free watchman? This is what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was asking. Are you going to pay me or not? And there are different levels of watching that you have to do accordingly. And so Rav David said, I told him, I have no idea what you're talking about. So he said, sit down. So he made Rav Ishai David sit down. And he told him, taught him the laws of Shomer Chinam or Shomer Socher, and David told him, you're a Shomer Chinam. I don't want to pay you to watch my book bag and my books. So Rav Soloveitchik said, fine, I'll watch the books. No idea who he was. Rav Avishai David said, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, would walk around school the next few days, because he did this day after day, holding his book bag, watching his books and his knapsacks with all speed. Finally, and Rav David said to himself, he said it's an embarrassing story, but he said, he's a great watchman. Look how much he takes care of my books. I'm really safe. So I gave it to him day after day. One day, Rav David he's taking the book bag from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and this older Rav, with long white beard, in MTA, comes over to Rav David. Rav David said, I had no idea who he was either. And says to me, what's going on over here? And so he said, this rabbi watches my bag because I'm playing ball in the morning and he needs it. And it's really good. He's really responsible that he takes care of my book. So I give it to him every day. And so the man says to him very nicely, "Do you know who that is?" He says, "No." He says, "That's Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. He's one of the Gedolei Hadar." And Rav David is in his 60s already. So this is talking about, you know, maybe 70s even. He's talking about 40 years ago, 50 years, whatever, 60 years ago already. And Rav Aaron's nifter 25 years ago. But he was already a Gadol, you know, at that point. And so David was very embarrassed. Who was the man who told it to him? Who was this man with the beard? So David Lifshitz, he says, who we also hadn't heard of. So he says to him, that's what I think was an MTA. But so fine, so David said, so I took the bag back and I didn't give it to him the next day or two. 2 days later, he sees Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in the hall, and Rav Aaron comes running to him and says, "I watched your bag. I didn't let anyone touch it. Why aren't you giving it back to me?" He says, "I couldn't understand that he wasn't giving him the bag because he's the Gadol Hadar." Rav Aaron felt that he wasn't giving it back because he did a bad shmirah. He didn't watch the book bag well enough. That's chesed. That's derech eretz. That someone would have such a chesed for a young boy so he could play basketball. We should be zocha. We should learn that lesson. It's a different dart. It's a different generation. And unfortunately, my generation was not fortunate enough to see. I went through YU. Early admissions to YU was September 2001. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was nifter September 2001. I got to see Rav Aaron Soloveitchik one time, I think, in the main base medrash of YU. And then he was nifter right away. But so we're a dar yasom. We are not fortunate to see such levels of derech eretz. We should be zocha. To take that to heart and to achieve such a level of derech eretz.